We'll turn to Luke chapter 4, beginning in verse 18. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Got to get that off because I'm getting too hot. Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. This morning as we look into the Word of God, I want us to think about as we read verse 18, the things that Jesus is talking about now. Jesus has come and He's come to the synagogue. He's went in and sat down and they brought Him the scrolls here from the book of Isaiah, and He's going to read from it, and He's going to expound upon it that He is the one that it's talking about. Now, Isaiah, when he was writing in chapter 61, that we're going to see that Jesus quotes from here and reads out of the book, that he was talking about the nation Israel. And we see Jesus quoting this as he is now the fulfillment of this prophecy that Isaiah was given in chapter 61 of Isaiah about binding up the broken heart. We talked about this Wednesday night as far as putting our past behind us and about abuse and different things that have happened and how Jesus is the only one that can take these people that have been abused or had abuse or been abusers and be able to bind their hearts and cause them to be able to heal. He has the oil of joy that He can put on their life, as we'll read here in the Scriptures, because I don't want us to miss any of this, because He's still the same God today that we serve. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And this is Jesus reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 61. "Because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised." Thank God that Jesus was the fulfillment of all this prophecy that Isaiah was given for the nation of Israel, and not only to Israel today, but it's also to every Gentile that's ever been born, that Jesus is the same one that came to preach to us the poor, because I was poor in spirit. Thank God I was bankrupt, I was desolate, I was destined to go to Satan's hell, but Jesus came and preached to my poor heart the salvation through His blood, that I might receive it, that my heart might be mended, that it might be tied up together, that it would be able to heal through the blood of Jesus, that it would bring it and change it from the old dark, stony thing that once filled the center of my being unto a new creature, a new vessel that Jesus could fill up and make me different, to give me life. But He preached to me the message of His death on the cross of Calvary and His salvation, and that was enough to save me from Satan's hell. He preached to the poor. He preached the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. We think about healing. I talked about this the other night. When we bind up a leg, when we put a cast upon it so the bones can heal. If we have a cut, we put stitches in it to pull the skin back together so it's able to heal up in a different thing. Now they even got a real good glue when they cut you. They can glue you back together. I don't know, you know, you ever seen one of them snap-tight models? I wonder if one of these days they're going to just try to do us that way and snap us back together. Well, I guess they do. They got staples too, so they can put you together. But we mend ourselves these ways. They work on these bodies, and whenever you have broke ribs, they don't do a thing for them. Whew! I tell you, that was a painful thing. It was a painful thing, but they're healing and they're doing good. Till I went to change oil in the four-wheeler. I think Robert going by and blowing the horn at me the other day when I was working on this. No, he wasn't. I think it was Robert went by. He went down the road anyway. But I was changing oil in it, and I pulled something I shouldn't have pulled, so I must have G'd when I should have hawed. But anyway, the brokenhearted is being mended. These broken bodies, these broken vessels that we have, God is mending them. And the only way to keep a broken vessel full is to keep it under the spout. Are you a broken vessel this morning? Then stay close to God. If you want your broken vessel full, what do you got to do? You got to stay close to God and let Him mend it. Let Him work that work in your life. Let Him put your clay back upon the potter's wheel and let Him make you anew, that you won't be a broken vessel. To preach deliverance to the captives. Now, these people today that are captive by this world, the things of this world are keeping them from going to church. Things of this world are keeping them separated from God. They say, "Oh, I'm not going to church because of the hypocrites." Well, let me tell you, if a hypocrite's between you and God, the hypocrite's closer. Amen. It's amen or oh me, whichever one you want to say. But don't let someone else, as Jamie is saying, don't depend on somebody else for the way you worship God. Amen. You serve God the way God tells you in your heart to serve God. You be obedient to His Spirit if He tells you to stand, if He tells you to speak, if He tells you to raise your hand, if He just tells you to clap your hands, smile and shed a tear. You do whatever God lays on your heart to do and it'll be all right. But if God don't do it, you better not. You better not do it. He's bringing deliverance to those that are captive. God sets us free that we don't have to be in bondage to someone else. Don't do it to please the preacher, because it won't last. You do it to please God, and it'll last. It'll be holy. And recovery of sight to the blind. Let me tell you, we got a lot of blind Christians today. God needs to perform some eye surgery on. Because without vision, we are dead. Without vision to see what we who we need to try to reach, we are no going nowhere. We are standing still thinking everything is fine. And it's not. It's not fine. There's people that's dying and going to hell without Jesus because maybe I didn't say something to them about it. Maybe you didn't say something to them about it, about Jesus and about His salvation. But He led me out of captivity. I want to show the rest of the ones that's in prison the way out. That they don't have to be captive in this world. Recovering of their sight of the blind. Thank God I can testify to that. And God will give you back your sight that you can have a vision to see. And liberty to them that are bruised. Thank God that God sets us at liberty. Whenever we surrender to Him, He don't dominate our life. He gives us an opportunity to serve Him. He don't force us to. He doesn't become a dictator and say, now you're going to do this or else. He says, this is what I've said is right. You have a chance to do it. If you don't, you're the one going to suffer. Our relationship's going to suffer. I still love you, but I want you closer. Here's the way to do it. Now be obedient to it. In verse 19, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. It says, and he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of them the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. They heard him read, but it was something different when this man read the scripture. You see, when I stand and read the scripture, it's not like Jesus doing it. You see, I stand and I read the words that someone else wrote. Jesus lived the words before they were written. He had power and authority in his voice when he spoke it. He had a calmness about him whenever he was delivering his message that they could hear and understand. He had power. He had authority. And they had to recognize that, but all the eyes were fastened upon him. In verse 20, verse 21 it says, and he began to say unto them, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. Today this scripture has already been fulfilled. Jesus has came and he fulfilled Isaiah 61. In the first part of the chapter where it's talking about him coming, that he sent him. He sent deliverance to Israel. He sent deliverance to the Gentile nation as well. He sent deliverance to all mankind if we'll believe Jesus. Died on the cross of Calvary. Went to the Father and put his blood upon the mercy seat. Rose the third day just as he said he would. Ascended back to the Father and is at the right hand of him today. Thank God Jesus did it. And he brought deliverance. Today this scripture is fulfilled in your ears, and all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth, and they said, is not this Joseph's son? See, they were still stuck. Are we recognizing Jesus today? They saw him as Joseph's son. Who do you see Jesus as? Do you see Jesus as they portray in a movie sometime, little baby Jesus in the manger, a secular movie that was made here a while back? Praying to baby Jesus because that's the one he wanted to remember him as a sweet little baby Jesus. That's where a lot of people want to keep him, as a little baby that can't do nothing. Can't depend upon himself to be able to bring himself up out of the manger, or be able to change his own diapers or feed himself, dependent on others. Jesus ain't dependent on others. He's not there. He's not a carpenter that's waiting to make a living by using his hands at the skilled trade that he learned from his father Joseph, his earthly father. That's not Jesus. He's not the carpenter out there. Thank God he helped some of us that was carpenters be able to make the mark. I always thought about that. When Jesus was a carpenter, he always hit his mark. That's important. It's important to be able to use a squire. I could preach about the whole toolbox of God, about being on the level, being squire, hitting your mark, measure twice, cut once. Not cut once, measure twice. Wait a minute. Cut twice, measure three times. But anyway, sometimes that's the way it works out. Cut it four times and it's still too short. And I'll get you some one of these days there. But they wondered at his gracious word that proceeded out of his mouth and said, is this not Joseph's son? Do you just see him as being Joseph's and Mary's son? Well, you're missing who Jesus is. Yes, earthly he was, but spiritually he was so much more. In the whole realm of things, he was so much more. He wasn't just their son, but they saw the physical. They wasn't looking at the spiritual. Aren't you glad that God don't just look at our physical ability? If he looked at my physical ability many years ago, it wasn't much. I was scared to death of people. I still am, not near as bad. God let me know that we're all the same. You're no higher on the totem pole than I am. Thank God he loves us all the same. Amen. Loves us all the same. And that we all have feelings, that we all have concerns, we all have worries, we all have things that other people may not know what's going on, but we all suffer from the same afflictions in this flesh. We all do. We're all the same. And God loves us all. But today the scripture's fulfilled. Jesus is him. He's not just Joseph's son. He's God's son. He's God's holy son, who was perfect. Now, those people believe that you can live a perfect life here. My friends, I'm going to tell you, if you think you're going to live perfect, you better come here to this altar. We got some business to take care of. We're going to have to do some talking to God because ain't nobody perfect. And if anybody says they are, they sinned. Because I'm not perfect. Billy Graham will tell you he's not perfect. John Hagee will tell you he's not perfect. And anybody that's got any sense that's read God's Word knows they ain't perfect. Now, what Jesus saved is the perfect part. Because it was sanctified by His blood. Now my flesh, it ain't perfect, never will be. That's why I'm going to lay off this flesh and get a glorified body that can stand in the presence of God and be united with this Spirit. And then it's going to be perfect. Then it's going to be perfect. The bonds of this earth are not going to have no holds on this old nut. I'm going to turn loose and I'm going to fly home. Thank God. In verse 23, he said unto them, ye will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever ye have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. They're saying, hey, you've been other places. We've heard about you healing people. Won't you do it here at home? Won't you do it here at home? Well, many times people at home won't listen because they know you. They know you. I often thought that's why at first I had to go to Wilkes County. They didn't know me. They didn't know me. And that's where God used me in the proving ground to teach me, to show me, to mold me, to make me, that He could bring me back home. Because Jesus said in verse 24, and He said, Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. His own country. Well, we know who that person is. We're not going to listen to them. Do you wonder why we have to have so many missionaries? Because they won't listen to somebody that comes from home. Well, they're just that crazy old person we knew, we grew up with. We saw all the bad things they done and we remember them. And ain't no way they know what they're talking about. But you bring someone from a foreign land teaching about Jesus, they're willing to listen. Willing to listen because they've got to know they ain't from here. We don't know nothing about them. Let's listen to what they got to say. And I've said it before, a preacher has to be stronger than an evangelist. Because a preacher has to face you. A pastor does every time, every Sunday, every Wednesday night. Evangelists can hit and run. They can just hit you and run away and they might get invited back. But a preacher has to stand and face you and preach the word. Just like you have to stand and face the mirror each day for the things that you've done. Can you stand there with a clear conscience, look into the mirror and like what you see? Can you look into the Word, in the mirror of God's Word and like what you see? To be a true child of God, to have a good relationship with God, you're going to have to be able to stand in that mirror and look and recognize those things. Now he's going to really hurt their feelings when he tells them here about the widows and different things in verse 25. He hurts their feelings and gets their dander riled. They're going to take him out here, and it tells us in God's Word, and they're going to try to get rid of him, going to cast him off the mount where the city's built. As we read in verse 25, it says, "But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land, but unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Zion, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elias the prophet, and none of them were cleansed, save in Naaman the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath." Filled with wrath. "They were many of these, but there were some that were found faithful. And God sent deliverance to those that were found faithful." Those that were holding on to the concepts of God. Those that were holding on to God's Word. Those that were striving to live a godly life. Those God sent people to deliver them. To bring to them that the meal wouldn't run out and the oil didn't run out until it rained upon the earth. Those that were leper, that people despised because of the illness of their skin, that they were cleansed because they were found faithful to God. They trusted God. We have people in our presence that have been delivered by God because they've been found faithful. They prayed in faith, believing, and God has reached down and performed miracles. Some were still waiting to see, but God is performing them. But they got upset because He just didn't whip out His book of magic and heal them. He just didn't speak to them and take care of all their problems. Is that how we want to serve God? "Well, God, I've got a problem today. I need Your help. I know it's been a while, but you know I hadn't really needed You. I've handled it on my own. Been 6 months? Well, I didn't think it had been quite that long, God, but if You say so, You know, because You're keeping a record." Oh, that's right, He's keeping a record. "Well, maybe You'll forgive me for waiting so long. But God, I really want You to do this for me, because I know You've done all this. Oh, I'm hearing all these great miracles You're doing. I know You can still do one for me. You know, throw one down my way, I'm ready." That's the way we approach serving God. That's the way we approach using Him. And God's not going to honor that. We're not found faithful. We're not walking daily. We're not striving daily. We're not even striving weekly most of the time. We are too. Very weekly is how we're striving to serve God. And in verse 29 it says, and rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him to the brow of the hill whereon the city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. They weren't going to throw him feet first. I don't know why that just popped out at me. If they throw him out feet first, he might land on and take off running. I know I would. Somebody throwed me off a cliff if I didn't die in the fall. They're going to throw him headlong off the cliff here of the city, off the mount. Have you ever dove in headlong? Have you ever gotten hurt? They say, don't jump in feet first. Well, don't jump in head first either till you find out how deep it is. You better try it before you jump in. Might be like on them cartoons, but you might not survive like they did. You might hit your head. But he passing through the midst of them went his way. You know, it's funny. People today still talking about Jesus. Don't want to hear that name Jesus. Don't want to hear about it. There's still ones keeping it out there. You know, I'm afraid if all the ones that's against him shut up, well, nobody know about him. Because we ain't saying enough. But he passing through the midst of them went his way. Jesus still accomplished that he was sent to do. They couldn't lay hands on him. They could try. Yeah, he was meek. All the power of heaven and earth under control. Yeah. The prime example of meekness. Why, he could have reached out with a word and killed the whole crowd. But he didn't. Why? He passed through them. He knew they didn't have no hold on him, that he couldn't allow. He knew they didn't know no better yet. They were ignorant because they were unlearned of the power of Jesus and His love. So he didn't harm them, though he could have. He still died for them that they could be saved. And came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, For his words was with power. With power. Like I said, I can just read the words that were written. Jesus was the life of the words that's been written. And the synagogue was a man which had a spirit of unclean devils and cried out with a loud voice. Now I want us to go back to remembering, do we know and recognize who Jesus truly is? Do we see him as Joseph's son? Do we see him as Mary's little boy? Or do we see him as the Son of God? Do we see him as the Christ? Because today they are evil spirits that see him and know him as the Christ, even though man does not give him the same honor. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil and cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." Now, if an old demon that's possessed somebody got enough sense to recognize who Jesus is, surely God's people do. And it's time for us to recognize Jesus. It's time for us to give him place in our heart. It's time for us to put him on the throne once again instead of casting him aside and thinking we got to be on the throne. Every man wants to be the king of his castle. Many don't know how to reign. There's more to it than just sitting on the throne. You've got to let God sit upon the throne in your heart. If you want to rule your house, men, well, then let Jesus sit on the throne of your heart. Let God sit on the throne of your heart. If you want your family to follow you, let God sit on the throne and you be obedient to Him. We can only follow. But too many times we're saying, "Let us alone. Jesus, leave me alone. I don't want to teach Sunday school. Jesus, leave me alone. I don't want to join the choir. I'm afraid if I join church, it's going to bust up." Satan's going to tell you all kinds of lies to try to keep you from being happy. But your true happiness lies in Jesus Christ. Not in the preacher. I can't make you happy. I make everybody happy, I guess. Half when I get up and half when I sit down. And half of you didn't laugh, that's going to be the ones when I sit down. But we got to recognize Jesus. We got to have happiness through the blood of Jesus. We got to have happiness in serving Him. And that's the only way we can do it. Instead of saying, "Let us alone, what have we to do with thee? I'm just satisfied, Jesus, just sitting here. Don't move me to do anything else. I don't want to leave my comfort zone or my safe zone," as it was made mention of. Sometimes we get to our safe zone, we're just going to flow along and we're fine. But we're not fine. That's not what God saved us for. Is to sit and not pay attention to what's going on, not to reach out and help those that need help. God should give us that desire that we want to be that. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace, and come out of him." And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, "What a word is this! For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out." You know what? There's people today with unclean spirits. I believe people still get unclean spirits, get possessed by Satan and used by the devil to drive other people out of their mind. You say, "Preacher, I don't believe that." Well, that's all right. You don't have to believe it. It happens. People that give over to Satan and let Satan rule their life, they get controlled by Satan, and that evil spirit's there in their heart and it rules their life, and you can see it. You've been some of the places and seen some of the things that I've seen. Satan uses people to break up happy homes. Satan uses people to bust up happy churches. You don't believe it can happen, you just let your guard down. See what Satan tries to do. In the name of Jesus, it's not going to happen. We have to proclaim it by His power, by the power of Jesus Christ, that it's not going to take place. That there's no room for Satan to be able to enter into this place and cause us heartbreak and hardship. And he's going to stay on the outside because he's not welcome here. Satan is not welcome in the house of God. Move him out. And it says, "And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. And he arose from the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her, and he stood over her and rebuked the fever. And it left her, and immediately she arose and ministered unto them. And now when the sun was setting, they all that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him and laid him his hands on them, every one of them, and healed them. He healed them. He laid his hands on them and healed them. And it says, and devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. The evil spirit's confessing who he is. He won't let them speak and testify to who he truly is. He won't suffer them then to bring the message that this is Christ, that they recognized him. And it was day, and he departed and went to the desert place, and the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him that he should not depart from them. Oh boy, I'd like to see that happen today in the United States. Do we follow Jesus? Now, I'm not just talking about us as a one little church. In America, do we follow Jesus? Do we follow him and beg him not to depart from us? I'd have to say on the whole, we don't do that anymore. Why is our murder rate so great and our prisons overfilled? And all these things and so many people hollering, rights, rights, rights. We all want to holler responsibility, responsibility. We need to get back and we need to ask God to stay with us. Don't depart from us. We've let him go. We have walked away too far. We've set him too far out of every aspect of our lives. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. He had other places to go and preach the word. In just a few short years, he preached messages that are still being repeated today. He lived a life that we're still trying to set our pattern by today to follow. It says, and he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. He didn't just hold his message to certain areas. He gave it to anyone that was willing to listen. He even preached it to those that wasn't willing to listen. They still got to hear it. They was most of the time the ones from the Sadducees and the Pharisees. We're the religious elite. We're the one that know the law frontward, backward, sideways. We know what we can get by with and what we can't. We don't want to hear about this thing that you've come to forgive sin and to love everybody and for me to love my neighbor and to love my enemy. We don't want to hear that. We want to hear that we're the top dogs because we do our sacrifice and we pray. And that's good enough for us. We don't want nothing new. Sometimes we get very legalistic. Well, I'm saved. I said that's all I needed. God, that's all I want. Don't give me no more. I can't stand it. I'm afraid they'd be calling me a fanatic like they do that preacher. Listen, I would rather follow Jesus anywhere than let the devil lead me into hell. Jesus loves you with all of his heart, mind, body, and soul, and every drop of blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary that you could be saved. Do we see Jesus for who he is? Do we see him as that little infant baby still in the manger? He's no longer there. He grew up. Do we see him as Joseph's son, the carpenter, from down there in Nazareth? No. Thank God when he started his ministry, he laid down his carpenter's tools and preached the word. Lived the word. Healed. Is he still on the cross? No. He was only there for a short time. What a great work that was accomplished. Is he still in the tomb? No. He's only there for a short time. But what a great work that was accomplished. Is he on the throne in heaven? You betcha. He's at the right hand of the Father, just waiting to call his children home. Waiting to hear from him. Have you talked to Jesus today? We've had prayer time. Did you talk to him or did you listen to someone else pray? Did you enter into your closet and pray? Have you had a conversation with him this week? When you start speaking, does he recognize your name? When you get a telephone call from someone you talk to all the time, you know their voice as soon as they speak. When Jesus speaks back to you, do you recognize His voice? Have you had a conversation? Does He recognize your voice? Or does He say, who's that stranger? We joke and kid when people are gone for long periods of time. Say, well, hello, stranger, welcome back. Ain't seen you in forever. They're not strangers, they're friends. And you're not a stranger to Jesus. He knows who you are before you're saved. But don't be a stranger either. Don't be a stranger. Friend, this morning, if you're lost, God wants to make a connection with you. It's called salvation. He wants to put His blood upon your life and save you from the devil's hell. Because that's not for man. That's for Satan and his angels. And Jesus don't want you to go there. Satan wants to take you there. But you don't have to go. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Do you want to enter into heaven? Then you must go through the door of Jesus. He's standing and waiting this morning. As we stand to our feet, is to get a song of invitation ready. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Have you asked Him to come into your heart? Have you made preparation? Have you been to the fount of God and had the blood applied to your life? Have you been made different than you were when you were born into this world? Now you came into this world and you have a life, but you're not living till you know Jesus. You're not living till you know Him. Friend, if you're lost this morning, would you just raise your hand? Say, preacher, I'm lost and I want to be saved. I know Jesus is dealing with my heart. Pray for me that God will increase my faith, that I'll just trust Him. That I'll just trust Him. Friend, we all had to have that moment of surrender to trust Him. God will help you to increase your faith, to surrender it all to Him. But you first have to recognize it and admit it. Is there one anywhere? Christian, maybe you got a burden this morning on your heart. You don't even have to lift a hand to signify that you've got one. God already knows. Bring it to this altar. Lay it off. Don't carry it any longer. Don't carry it any longer. There's no use to. You're not Superman or Wonder Woman. You don't have to be. God said, I will. I will. Will you surrender it to Him? Will you come? God will. Whatever you need of, God will. God can. Will you come?